chapter 17. Say, preacher, what are we talking about? We're talking about ordinary obligations that can lead to extraordinary opportunities. Ordinary obligations that can lead to extraordinary opportunities. Things that you and I do ordinarily, God is using, could be for an extraordinary test to see how you handle what you have before he gives you something else new. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 17. Just like last week, we covered most of chapter 16. We'll cover most of chapter 17 today. Most of us are familiar with this area. This is David and defeating Goliath. Even if you don't know the chapter per se, you know the story. Amen. David, of course, is the underdog. Goliath is the big towering giant trying to defeat the little man. Amen. By the way, the world even uses that terminology when it comes to a big corporation against a small mom and pop shop. Amen. They call it the David and Goliath syndrome. So if the world picked up on that, amen, that's scary at times. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 17, and I'm going to read verses 2, 3, and 4, and I'm going to ask you to join me for the last verse, which will be verse number 8. Verse 2, and Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah and set the battle in array against the Philistines. The Philistines stood on a mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side. And there was a valley between them. And there went out a champion, out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. That is approximately close to 10 feet tall. So if you stand next to a basketball hoop and you see a man's head up there, amen, it's probably going to be Goliath, amen. Come down and read verse number 8 with me. Here we go. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine and ye servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you and let him come down to me. So he's looking for a man. Now, last time I checked, the Israelite army was full of men. But guess what? None could be found to fight. Amen. One of the main ideas behind this message series is to make us consciously aware that even the smallest of things that we do on a daily basis, the ordinary tasks, if you would, we perform, can be extraordinary tests from God. Amen. For greater responsibilities and privileges. We looked at Gideon and his men a few weeks back, and last week we started this area here, continuing to look at some ordinary obligations that lead to extraordinary opportunities. David is the man in question. He had some ordinary obligations that he was responsible for, and God took those ordinary obligations, gave him an extraordinary opportunity to excel because he did the ordinary in such a fine fashion. And so we're going to pick up that. This is the thought process I want to give you. Think of some ordinary obligations you have. Some things you do all the time. God could be using that thing that you do ordinarily all the time, seeing how you do it, to give you something extraordinary and opportunity-wise. You never know what it is. Amen. David's ordinary obligations led to extraordinary opportunities, and so might yours as well. Let's pray. Father, thank you once again for the word of God. Thank you for David and his life and being a yielded vessel for you to use. Lord, not only did you use him, you placed him in positions of authority to be a blessing and an encouragement to a nation who is cowering down at this time. Lord, at this time in scripture, he is but a youth. He's a youngster. But you're using even this youngster. God, might we be reminded today that it's in the youth is when we're molded. It is in the youth oftentimes when we're made. And it's in the youth is when character and integrity is sorely founded and modified in our lives to be what you would have it to be. And Lord, I pray that as young people, we would look at the example of godliness. But then as older people, we would look at it as well and see the ordinary obligations that we have today could just be the test for extraordinary opportunities waiting down the road for us. use the message today to heighten our awareness that what we're doing may seem mundane. It may seem very methodical. It may seem very mainstay. Lord, you may be using that for a mighty, marvelous working and moving of God in our life that will affect many, many, many other people. God, help us most of all to be mindful of Jesus Christ and the salvation that he provides and the love that he wants to give us today through the cross of Christ. And Lord, I pray there's one today without Jesus Christ, without that assurance that heaven is their home. Lord, and today you would solidify it in their minds and their hearts that they must be born again. They must have Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Those of us that are born again, help us to realize that even the mundane things that we do, you, Lord, can use those same things for mighty and marvelous works. Bless in our midst today. Holy Spirit, have liberty in my life. Help me to say the things necessary and help the hearers to, Lord, receive that which they need to hear. And may we leave here differently than we came in, a bit more Christ-like, a little bit more knowledgeable, and receiving the things of God to live a holy life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. And we are going to have Miss Tony come and sing special for us. And that is the one thing about surrender. God already knows who is going to surrender to be used. Amen. Oftentimes, we just don't know if we're going to surrender to be used. Amen. Well, we're continuing with the theme from last week. Ordinary obligations can lead to extraordinary opportunities. And we began looking at three ordinary obligations that allowed David to experience some extraordinary opportunities. Number one, we found out last week that David's ordinary obligation of mundane shepherding led to the extraordinary opportunity of being anointed as king. Amen. And I pose this to you. Imagine being at your job, doing what you do on a routine basis, and you get promoted to the highest level. You're now the CEO. You're now the president. You're now the man or the woman in charge. You rule and reign everything in the corporation. You hold the stocks. You hold the bonds. You hold the power to fire, amen, and hire. Some of y'all say, man, let me at him. You wouldn't even know what to do with it, most of us, amen. Make bad decisions, amen. David's ordinary obligation of mundane shepherding. Then we saw, number two, David's ordinary obligation of musical skills led to the extraordinary opportunity of being appointed to the king's court. Amen. Think of this. Your skills could lead you to some place where nothing else will. There are some NBA players right now, their skills have led them to a place where nothing else could have led them but their skills and their ability. Some musicians are the same way. Some people are very intelligent. Their intelligence have placed them in a location where only their intelligence could take them. What am I saying? If you've got a skill, David had a musical skill, he utilized that, and others found out about it and say, you know what, King Saul, you having a problem with this evil spirit? I know a man. Not only can he play, but he is smart. He's got some a mighty fighting ability in him. He's got the whole package. Saul said, send him to me. Last time you saw David, he was standing in the king's court, finding out what to do as king, finding out how a king operates, finding out what goes on in the king's court, noticing what to do, what not to do, in there playing his musical instrument with his musical skills, coming from the mundane shepherding. Now he's in the palace observing everybody. And we said, how was he ever going to get trained? Because Samuel just anointed him and ran away. Well, God was going to take him into there with the king and see what kings do. You want to learn, amen, nothing better than on-the-job training, amen. And he got some on-the-job training there. And so we talked about those two points. Mundane shepherding led to an extraordinary opportunity of being anointed as king. And then the musical skills had the extraordinary opportunity of being appointed to the king's court, which brings me to my third point for today. Dealing with ordinary obligations can lead to extraordinary opportunities. David's ordinary obligation of moving swiftly. David's ordinary obligation of moving. You say, preacher, what in the world are you talking about? Moving swiftly. How do you do what you do? How do you do what you do? When authority speaks, how do you move? Because oftentimes how you move for authorities is how you're going to move for the authority of God. Somebody say amen. You give me a lazy person, amen. Oftentimes they're not going to move too swiftly.
Even though God Almighty may speak, he may have to kick him in the bump a little bit. But how do you move when authority speaks and the Spirit of God? Let me give you several ways you can move before we get into the message. You can move swiftly as David did. We're going to see that in a minute. You can move slowly as some do. You ever ask your kid to do something? And then they put down the Game Boy or whatever. Look at the screen. Think about what they're going to leave. Push pause. I could have did it myself by all this time. Then they get up as they're looking at the screen. Or the phone buzzes for another text. Now they're moving. But oh, so slowly. I mean, my pet turtle could move faster. You might as well give the pet turtle the instructions and say, I need you to do this because they're going so slow. And the turtle could beat some youngsters to get done what they need to get done.
Yes, sir.
So how do you move? Swiftly, as David did, slowly or barely? You hear the music playing. Dun, 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 dun. Da, 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 dragging their feet. And normally, while they're barely moving, they're complainingly moving. Why I gotta do it? Why can't so-and-so do it? And I did it last time. And I'm always the one. Barely moving. Barely moving. And complainingly moving as they go. So how do you move? Swiftly like David, slowly like some, barely like others, or grudgingly? When I grow up and get my own house, I ain't doing nothing. I ain't never washed no dishes. I ain't going to do this. I ain't going to do that. Got two floors of house to clean. Got four bathrooms to clean. You better praise God you got up. Yeah, amen. You got something to go to the bathroom in. Hey. I went to my granddaddy's house. We had the outhouse. Say, preacher, what does that mean? You had to go out of the house to use the bathroom. And once you got there, the smell met you before you actually even got there. And if that's the outhouse, you're like, something don't smell too good right about now. And then you open the doors. If the flies don't take you out, the mosquitoes will bite you where you don't want to be bit. Trying to get your business done. What am I saying? Praise God for what you have. How do you move? Swiftly as David when authority speaks, or slowly like some, or barely like many, grudgingly like most young people. The last way is disobediently. You don't even do nothing. You ignore them. I wish I would. You fired day one. You ain't been there long enough getting no pink slip, amen. You fired day one. We need somebody to clean the bathrooms. Well, I hope you find somebody because my name is such and such. Amen. How do you move? David had the ordinary obligation of mundane shepherding, the ordinary obligation of musical skills, but also the ordinary obligation of moving swiftly when authority spoke to him. So it seems right that if I move swiftly when authority speaks, I'm going to move swiftly when God speaks. Many of you are military, or some of you are military. You understood moving swiftly when authority speaks. You learned that the hard way. Amen. Some of you already had it down when you got in the service, like me. Say, preacher, how'd you get it down? The first time I didn't move swiftly, my mom made sure the second time I did move swiftly. Well, did she give you some reinforcement on the rear and the rear exit? Amen. And it helped. Chapter 17 opens with Goliath challenging Israel. Notice down there in verse number 8. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, why are you come out to set your battle in array? Not I, a Philistine, and ye servants to Saul. Choose you a man for you to, and let him come down to me. Amen. You would think that the biggest strapping man would say, hey, that, guess they're talking about me. Look at my buffness. Look, I can wield the sword. Look at my shield. Yep, I'm the biggest. You would have think that would happen. They said, Saul, let me go. Yes, Philip. You would have thought that, right? The biggest one. I think the biggest one was probably the one who's hiding furthest in the back. He said, choose out a man. Verse number 9. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants? But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. Now, he's speaking to a bunch of men. And I guess like the cartoon said, are we men or are we mice? Amen. They all said, I like cheese. Verse 11, when Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistines, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. That's why nobody went. So we see here chapter 17 opening with a challenge to Israel. There was a war with the Philistines, and their champion Goliath was selected to fight for them against Israel. In the process, Israel doesn't have anyone to fight for them. And in the process, David was sent back home. Notice verse 13 and 14. The three eldest sons of Jesse went and followed Saul. They talk about them. And then verse 14. And David was the youngest, and the three eldest followed Saul. Verse 15. But David went and returned from Saul. So I'm leaving the court. I was appointed to the court. I was anointed as king, but now I'm leaving that. And notice where we find David at. David went, verse 15, and returned from Saul to feed his father's, what? Sheep. What is he doing? Going right back to the ordinary obligations he had. Before he got anointed as king, he was a mundane shepherd. After he got anointed king, he went back to his mundane shepherding. But then somebody heard about this mundane shepherd and said, hey, he's got some musical skills and he doeth it well. Saul said, bring him. He goes and stands in Saul's court. The war breaks out. Goliath is there. They said, we got to go to war. We won't need your services anymore, Saul, because David, because you ain't going to be playing no harp on the field of battle. Amen. So you go on back home. So he goes back to the mundane shepherding. David is sent back by his father to check up on his brothers. Notice where he's at, feeding his father's sheep. Ordinary obligation of mundane shepherding. David's ordinary obligation of moving swiftly led him to something. It led to his appointment to run errands. Notice verse number 16. Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. Jesse said unto David, here's this appointment. The appointment to run these errands. Jesse said unto David, take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn and these 10 loaves, and notice the command, and run. Why? There's a battle going on. Run. Why? There's no time to waste. Run. Why? I don't know how my sons are doing. Run. Why? My three sons are in battle. Run. Why? They may get injured. Run. Why? I want to know how they're doing. Run. Why? It's important that you go. The quicker you go, the quicker you can come back. And the quicker I know how my men are doing. There was no Facebook. There was no notebook. There was no PC. There was none of that stuff. Amen. You got it the slow way by messenger. Amen. So he says, run to the camp, to thy brethren, and carry these 10 loaves and unto the captain of their 1,000, and look how thy brethren fare, and take their pledge. He says, find out what's going on with my sons. He says, I want you to come back and report to me. Jesse knew he could depend on David to move swiftly out of the 8 sons he had. Notice verse number 12. Now, David was the son of that Ephrathite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse, and he had how many sons? 8 sons. And the man went among men for an old man in the days of Saul. 8 sons, verse number 14. And David was which one? The youngest. David was the youngest. Jesse knew he could depend on David to move swiftly out of his 8 sons. Parents, who would you choose out of yours? Who would you choose? Don't say it out loud. Your parents may gang up on the other one and throw him in a pit like they did Joseph. Amen. Who would you choose? Interesting question, isn't it? I'll tell you who you choose. You choose the one that's going to get the job done the quickest without complaining. Who's going to be not the one barely going. He's not going to be the one barely going or slowly going or grudgingly going or disobedient. He's going to be the one that goes the swiftest with the best attitude, the most courageous, the one that you know I can depend on. Why? My son's lives are in stake here. I got 3 boys out there. I'm going to depend on the one I know will go, get the job done, and get back to me. I'm going to pick the one that I know I can trust. I'm not going to trust this to just anybody. David was the youngest. Young people, would you be chosen? Amen. Some young people, I'm the grudgingly one. I'm the barely moving one. I'm the disobedient one. I'm the slowly one. You probably won't get chosen for that job. By the way, you don't see David being bribed to take the job. You don't find him saying, well, how much does it cost? How much you going to give me for it? Get your whooping if you don't. You say, what's that word? Yeah, uh-huh. Uh-huh, that's this generation now. What's a whooping? Uh-huh. It's what made you run swiftly. It's what made you move swiftly. What's a whooping? It's that which encouraged you to do right. What's a whooping is what many young people need today. All right, now y'all getting silent on me. Well, if I whoop them, they might not like it. I don't recall reading in the scripture, and he shall like it. I don't recall reading, and if he doesn't like it, don't give it to him. I don't recall. Maybe you got a different Bible. I got the KJV. Maybe you got the kids version, amen, or something like that. But the KJV says, deal with them. In Jesus' name, you lovingly deal with them, and you encourage them, and you reinforce them. Children, would you have been chosen? See, I don't think so, preacher. Now's the time to change that. Now's the time to change that. Jesse was not disappointed. He knew David's character. He knew David's ability. And notice how swiftly he moved. Verse number 20. And David rose up when? Early in the morning. He didn't sleep till noon. He got his rump out of the bed and got the job done. Early. He didn't hit snooze button 12, 15, 13, 100 times. He didn't reset it for another hour. The sun got up. It's a new day. I'm up. He rose up early in the morning. Left the sheep with the keeper. Responsibility. Hey, those are the sheep that I'm responsible. It may be mundane shepherding. Hey, it may require musical skills, but I'm going to leave these sheep with somebody. Here go the kids. Yo, they leave the water on. You call them to do something. Why do you turn the water? Because you called me to come over and do this. Well, turn the water off first. You get over there, turn the water. They're over there sweeping. Come and dump the garbage. Just leave it right there. Well, where'd this come from? You told me to dump the garbage. Do the job first. Get it done. And then go to the... He was responsible. Say, preacher, you talk like you was young once. Why you think I move swift now? I got a mama that dealt with me. Try that foolishness once, you won't try that foolishness again. You move swift from now on. Amen. If a mouse call you, you come. He left the sheep with the keeper and took and went. How? As Jesse had commanded. How did Jesse command? He said, run, take this stuff, carry it there. Look to your brothers, take their pledge. As Jesse had commanded, he came to the trench as the host was going forward to the fight and shouted for the battle. David's out there doing with his dad. What am I saying? He moved swiftly. Can people depend on us to carry out orders and move swiftly on the job, at home, at school, at church, in the community, with your sports, at your hobbies, wherever you go? Can people depend on you, my friend? If they can, you'll be chosen. People want folks reliable. I was so reliable at my job that when it came time for me to try to get a new job, they didn't want to let me go. Even though it meant a promotion for me, I said, well, they said, we are not going to find anybody as valuable as you. I said, so I'm being punished because I'm valuable? I'm like, yeah, get a monkey to do this. They're like, he won't move as fast as you, though. He won't get it done with the quality as you got. He won't do it as thorough as you. I said, I'm being punished for my good things. Amen. Why must the godly always suffer? No, I didn't say that. I actually felt pretty good. They like me. They want me. I'm valuable. Now let me go. Amen. They did let me go. Amen. So, by the way, can people depend on us to carry out orders and move swiftly to get a job done? What about when nobody's watching? There you go. When nobody's watching. When the boss is away, they say the employees will stray and play. Some of them don't even come to work. Hey, But you think about this. David was out of his father's sight when he was doing his mundane shepherding. David was out of his father's sight when he was doing his musical skills out there when nobody else saw him. Remember, he was out of his father's sight when he performed this task of mundane shepherding, and his character and his integrity came in such play that others knew about how he was. And King Saul's court said, "We heard about a man." Amen. Because David moved swiftly. Can people depend on us, especially when no one is watching? By the way, David was sent alone. He didn't go with somebody to help him out. Last time I checked, it says he commanded Jesse to go. Jesse commanded David to go. And David went. And David's the youngest. That shows you something about a young person right there. Hey, young people, I don't care how young you are, you still can be trusted. You can still be responsible. You can still do things quality-wise. You can still have moral character. You can still have integrity. I don't care how old you are. David was the youngest out of eight, and he was sent alone. That's when moral character and integrity really kicks in, when you are alone. Hey, young people, what do you watch on television when you're alone? What do you bring up on your PC when you're alone? What do you do on your phones when you're alone? What do you say in your chats when you're alone? What sites do you go to when you're alone, when nobody else is around? What do you do? Amen. That's when your moral integrity and your character really shines. And by the way, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. So you think, well, I got away with it. Mom and daddy didn't see. Mom and daddy don't have to see. Be sure your sins will find you out. They don't have to see. But God is checking your character. God's checking your integrity. And you may not get the extraordinary opportunities that you could have gotten. David here finds himself in a position where he gets the ability to excel in what he's doing. He moves swiftly. He was in that place to see Goliath, the giant, challenge Israel. Notice verse number 10. And it says, "And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." And so the giant is challenging. David moves swiftly. He was in this place. He went by himself. He sees what's going on. And because no one else would fight when the challenge went out, David said, "I'll fight this giant. I'm looking around here. I'm seeing everybody cower down. I'll fight this giant." Notice verse number 32. And David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine." Woo! Glory to God. Ain't nothing better for a boss than to sit up there and say, "Man, we got this mess right here. Who are we going to get to do this?" He said, "I'll do it, sir." Hallelujah. I don't have to go and get somebody voluntold. We got to get this project completed. And what are we going to do? Sir, I'll get it done. Hallelujah. The guy that just started on the job, while the seasoned veteran's like, "I'm not going to get my hands dirty for that. I don't clean toilets." Well, you go in it, don't you? Well, you ought to clean it. If you go in it, you clean it. "I don't do manual sweeping. That's what the janitor is for." I'm so glad in boot camp we was janitor, we was maid, we was cook, we was everything. Why? Because they might say, "I need a volunteer." And guess what? I'm your man. I can do that. I can do that. He said, "I will fight this Philistine." Amen. All right, it's about to get good here, folks. By the way, David volunteered for two things in his career that we know of: fighting Goliath and building the temple. He volunteered for two things. Fighting Goliath and building a temple to the glory of God. Out of those two things, he was only allowed to do one. And it wasn't build the temple. Solomon built that. Out of the two things he volunteered for, he got to fight Goliath. Hallelujah, praise God. Somebody says, "That's why I didn't volunteer." He knew he wasn't going in his own strength. He knew this was not something he was going to do by himself. He looked at the glory of God. He saw his God being defied, his nation of people being defied. He said, "I'll fight this guy. He ain't got nothing on my God." Two things that he had going for him. He volunteered to fight Goliath. He volunteered to build the temple. Only one he couldn't do was build the temple. And fighting Goliath was the more difficult of the two. Amen. By the way, would you have volunteered if you were there? "Not me. I got a wife and three kids. Amen."
David's a single man. Yeah, let the single folk go, amen. They got no family, yeah. They got no house, amen. He just got them sheep out there. Yeah, brother. Let the single folk go. All the married folk, come back here with me. Let's go. All the single folks up front, there you go, here. Yeah. Hey, pick one of those guys up there. You coward. You coward. David's skills to fight came from, you guessed it, his ordinary obligation of mundane shepherd. Notice verse 33. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine, fight with him, for thou art but a youth. He's a man of war from his youth. He said, you know what, David, you can't do this. He's been fighting since you've been born. He's equipped. He's 10 feet tall. You don't have no armor. You don't have a shield. You don't have a sword. You don't have any skills. The only thing you can do is play a harp. I saw you in the court. Now, you can play a good harp. Let me give you that. Now, you made the mice dance. Now, you can, I mean, hey, you can make that thing sing. Bling, bling. All my servants were soothed. Amen. The evil spirit came on me. Bling, bling. Oh, I felt good. Amen. When I couldn't go to sleep, bling, bling. Ah, you put me to sleep. By the time I wake up, bling, bling. I woke up. It was time to eat. I was like, oh, this food tastes so much better. Bling, bling. But you can't fight. You can't fight. Hey, wait a minute. One of his qualifications early on was he was a mighty man of valor. He was valiant. One of his qualifications earlier. Notice David's resume he had in the field. Verse 34. David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep. There came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. He said, hey, look, wait a minute, you know. Let me give you my resume. When's the last time one of y'all fought a bear? Come on, come on, come on. Who fought a bear? Come on. When's the last time y'all fought a lion? Come on, come on. Well, I did. I killed it with my trusty sword. I had a rock. Trusty sword, that. I had a rock. I had no sword. I had a rock. I had a sling. Hey, David's resume. He said, notice my resume in the field. A lion was against me. A bear was against me. And I fought them to protect my lambs. Notice that. And David said in the song, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. Amen. He said, these are part of my credentials. Amen. And I went after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by the beard and smote him and slew him. He said, I've got a very good resume that no one has here. Amen. In the field, I had to fight a lion. I had to fight a bear. Who did that? Amen. Come on up. Line up, if you will. And David said, notice my resources against that I had to fight against this foe. Amen. Not only do I have resume in the field, I got resources against the foe. Verse 36, thy servant slew both the lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them. He went from past tense to future tense. He said, they were has-beens. This guy is a gone-been. Amen. I'm going to get him. Amen. He's going to be just like they have been. Amen. Past tense to future tense. He said, all I need is a present tense change. That's all I need. They are dead. He going to be dead. Just give me a chance. Just give me a chance. Just give me a chance. I'm not saying David's resources he had against the foe. He said, they shall be as one of them, seeing he had defied the living God. Verse 36, thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he had defied the armies of the living God. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion, he said, God did it. And out of the paw of the bear, God did it. He will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine. He's going to do it. We're talking about a mundane shepherd boy with musical skills that's moving swiftly, being used by Almighty God. What am I saying? Your ordinary task can be an opportunity for extraordinary tests. All depends on how you handle it. All depends on how you handle it. He said, the Lord delivered, and he will deliver. Saul said unto David, go, Lord be with you. What we got to lose? If you don't fight, we're going to get killed. If you fight, we're probably still going to get killed. Boy, look, the faith you got in me. We're going to lose anyway. So if he said that, if we're going to lose anyway, well, why don't you go since you're the biggest and the baddest? Amen. Well, he's expendable. We already discussed he's single. I've got 35 wives and 45 concubines and 800 children. I can't go. Right. The ordinary obligation of mundane shepherding led to learning to fight and defend against the lion and the bear, which in turn led to fighting and defending against other predators, which in turn led to fighting and defending against Goliath. So David said, I've got a field resume that's sound. I've got a God that's awesome and mighty. And so I don't have to worry about this. Why? My resume shows it. My resources show it. I've got God on my side. And so I don't have to worry about the lion, the bear, the predators. This Goliath is going to be the same way. David's ordinary obligations led to an extraordinary opportunity. What's that opportunity? David's reasons for fighting. Notice verse 29. David's reasons for fighting. And this is one of the best ones. David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? He said, is there not a cause? Isn't he talking about God? Now, I don't know about you, but back in when I grew up, when you got on the basketball court or you got out there, somebody talked about your mama, that's a cause. You don't talk about my mama. Nobody ever talked about my daddy because he was too big anyway. But you don't talk about my mama. They say, your mama, you don't talk about my mama. We going to go. Now, either you're going to whoop me or I'm going to whoop you, but you ain't going to talk about my mama. And next time you say something about my mama, you're going to know that you're in for another whooping, amen? Either the one that I give you or the one you gave my face, amen? But somebody, you ain't talking about my mama. Is there not a cause? He said the whole nation is on our side. We've got God on our side. He's defying our God. There is a cause. The reason for fighting. He said there's a cause. Not only that, notice what else he says, verse 45. He said that there's not just a cause. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. He says, he defied my God. Talk about my mama's one thing, but you can talk about my God, that's another thing as well. He defied the God of Israel. This day, verse 46, will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee. He tell him what he's going to do. And take thine head from thee. Tell him what you're going to do. And will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. What's his cause? God is my cause. God's my cause. David said, look, I may just be a mundane shepherd. I may just have some musical skills. I may be able to just move swiftly, but I got a mighty Savior. I got a mighty Savior, and he is the one that's going to do this. I'm just a vessel. I sang the song, use me. I'm just being used of God. And you're going to see how mighty of a God he is. Now, this is a little old boy, a shepherd boy talking like that. Can you imagine a little kid going in the ring with Muhammad Ali when he was in his prime? Come on. I'm going to take you down. Rope-a-dope, huh? Uh-huh. I got something for you. Uh-huh. And Muhammad Ali probably said, this kid, he's so cute. Pow! Knock him down. David said, not tomorrow, not next week, this day, verse 46, the Lord going to deliver me. Deliver you into my hand, and I will smite thee, and take thine head from thee, and will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air, to the wild beasts. He said, you're going to be scattered everywhere. They're going to have a field day with you. Why? That all the earth may know there's a God in Israel. He said, I want everybody to know who I serve and whose I am. Verse 47, and all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. He said, my God's going to deliver. I got a mighty Savior. May just have musical skills. May be able to move swift. Amen. May be a mundane shepherd, but I got a mighty Savior. He'll whoop you up. Better watch it, boy. You defied my God. Of course, we know the rest is history. He did. All from a mundane shepherd with some little old musical skills, moving swiftly at his father's command. You know why God used him? Because he was usable. He was usable. He submitted to authorities. So when authorities got him, he's ready to go. He submitted to authorities.
You know what children lack today? Respect for authority. Children, the Bible still says obey your parents in the Lord. Children, obey your parents. This is right. You know what we miss today? Lack of submission, lack of love from a father, lack of children obeying their parents. That's what we miss. That's why we don't see many Davids nowadays. Because they want it their way. See, David's reason for fight, David's resources he had against the foe, but notice David's reward for the fight. Come over to chapter 18. Of course, you know, he did what he said he was going to do. He slew the giant with God's help. God knocked him over. Amen. He cut his head off. Yeah. Chapter 18, verse 2. And Saul took him that day and would let him go no more home to his father's house. So the mundane shepherding days are over. He still got his musical skills. He's still moving swiftly. And then come down to verse number 5. David went out whithersoever Saul sent him and behaved himself. Notice that wisely. Why? He already had the character in him. He already knew from his father when his father commanded him to move swiftly. He already had that down. He didn't have to learn to move swiftly. It was already in him. He was already trained from his childhood to do that which is right. Children, that's why it's so important for you to do right now, because it will translate over into your adulthood. How you are now, if you don't get it right with God, you will be the same way in your adulthood, and you will not be as prosperous as you could be. Preacher, I don't like that, but it's true. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. If you're a sluggard and lazy now, you're going to be that way later on until God divinely intervenes and does something in your life. And so David went and did and beheld himself wisely, and Saul set him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people and also in the sight of Saul's servants. Amen. Look at how blessed he is. And it came to pass as they came, and David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistines, that the women came out of all the cities of Israel singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tabrets, with joy, and with instruments of music. And the women answered one another, and they played and said, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. Mundane shepherd, musical skills, moving swiftly with a mighty Savior makes the service worthwhile. David was rewarded for what he did. David's ordinary obligation led to extraordinary opportunities. I wonder what ordinary obligations that you have right now that you don't necessarily care for that God wants to use in your life. You say, preacher, I'm not a mundane shepherd. I'm not saying a mundane shepherd. I don't have any musical skills. You may not. But I tell you what, whatever you do, you can do it with all your heart. Whatever you do, you can do it with all your might. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. I don't care what you do. You can move swift. You don't have to barely move and slowly move and grudgingly move and disobedient. You can do what you do for God now. I praise God for my mother. She let me have it. She said, boy, you're going to need this when you get older. And oh, did I ever need it. Oh, did I ever need it. I praise God for how she put within me to do what's right. I just had my nephew out here recently. And he said that after I left, he moved in with my dad. And my dad had him working with him like he had me working with him. And he said, granddaddy would always say, Greg. And he said, I knew he was talking about me because you long gone. He said, Uncle Greg, he said, you don't know how good that made me feel that granddaddy called me you. Because he talks so much about how you moved and how you did this and you did that. And so every time he called me you, he said, I stopped correcting him. He said, I was just honored that he called me you. And folks, you don't know what that did for me. That my dad thought so highly of how I worked for him. Because I wasn't doing it so much to please him. I was just doing it because it was right. Amen.
That's it.
Because my mother had put within me, hey, look, son, if you don't move swiftly, I'm going to make you move. And seeing years gone by, hear him calling someone else me, and this guy being flattered because of what he said about me and my work ethic, that did something for me. Just as much as it did for him. See, he didn't really have his father raise him. And so my father was the one that raised him pretty much in some of the formidable years. You know, and I just had ordinary obligations that I was trying to do to the best of my ability.
And they gave me some extraordinary opportunities. David's ordinary obligations led to some extraordinary opportunities. He rose from protecting an ordinary, rose from the ordinary task of shepherding and protecting sheep to protecting Israel. Because his ordinary tasking was extraordinary testing from God. God saw awesome possibilities in him, and God sees awesome possibilities in you. He just needs somebody to use. Doesn't matter what you do. Tony said, if you can use anything, use me. It doesn't matter what you do. Just do the best that you do at what you do. Children, you don't have to be endowed with all this smarts and wisdom and all these other things. You just need the word of God and obedience to your parents. That's all you need. You will go far with just that. I was nobody special growing up as a kid. I just knew I wanted to do what my father told me to do. And as a result, God bless. You and I must be aware as we go about daily activities, some of them may be extraordinary tests disguised as ordinary tasks. And God is waiting to see how you respond to that before he gives you the next thing. And I don't know about you, but I know I'm not finished being tasked, and neither are you. Every day that I work, every day that I do what I do, God is preparing me for the next thing. And every day that you work, and every day that you go to school, and every day that you live, God is preparing you for the next thing. How are you moving? Are you moving swiftly as David? Are you moving slowly? Are you moving barely? Are you moving grudgingly? Are you moving disobediently? How you move may determine what God does in your life. Let's bring that full circle. When God calls you to be saved, how are you moving? God said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. How are you moving when God calls you to be saved? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. How are you moving when God calls you to be saved? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How are you moving? Well, preacher, I'm moving kind of slow because I don't want to let go of the world. I'm kind of barely moving because I'm going to give up too much and grudgingly coming to God. No, you don't grudgingly come to God. You come to God or you don't come. You come or you don't come. There is no such thing as halfway saved. There's no such thing as being halfway born again. You're either born again or you're not. You're saved or you're lost. You're a child of God or you're still a child of the devil. Preacher, I don't like the way that sounds. God doesn't either. God wants all people to be saved. Who would have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. God didn't want it that way either. But you control your destiny. He gives you the salvation. You possess the faith to come and get it. David possessed all the qualities, but as he was being sent, he was in charge of how he moved. Nobody else. Are you born again today? If you're not, don't pass that up. Don't move slowly. Don't move barely. Don't move grudgingly. Don't move this. Move swiftly and say, Lord, I want to be saved. I don't want to go to hell. That's not for me. By the way, we're talking about hell tonight. I encourage you, come back tonight, 5:00. Talking about hell tonight. Heads are bowed.